Stop me if you've heard this before. The Celtics might be at full strength against the Spurs. Huh? Really? I'll talk about that and get a preview of that Spurs game with Jeff Garcia of Locked On Spurs right now on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
Be ever ready. Recognize the city of champs. Boston, baby, we do what you can't. Locked On number 18, Tatum and Brown, J-Team. Step back, we gon' wet that and slay teams. Of course, the Celtics, who else could it be? Screaming like KG with the Larry O.B. Corrales above average, assessing the team status. Best daily pod, no cap, salary matching. Clutch like Bird to DJ, keep John on replay. Prime time, dapping up the truth on the sideline. Raining J's, how I started, raising banners, how we finished. Locked On Celtics pod, home of the winners. B.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you for making this show part of your daily routine and your first listen every day. Locked On Celtics, free, available wherever podcasts exist. It's on YouTube. Please subscribe to the YouTube show. I'm John Corrales. I cover the team for Boston Sports Journal. I've written a book called The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, which you can buy anywhere books are sold. Get a signed copy with a personalized inscription on johncorrales.com. The Boston Celtics had practice. The big story out of practice is Jason Tatum back, Robert Williams back, and his freedom is back as well. But those two guys are back. Aaron Nesmith is out, still waiting to see if Romeo Langford is going to be available to play against the Spurs. So basically, mostly whole. It looks like the Celtics will have their full starting five: Marcus Smart, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Robert Williams, and Al Horford, for the first time since December 13th, and that immediately went away in the next game. So the Celtics look like they're going to have their full starting lineup, that they might be mostly healthy, and they might be close to being fully healthy, which is amazing. Tatum says he feels a lot better than he did the last time coming out of COVID, where he needed the inhaler for an extended stretch. It appears that this was a very mild case. Hey, today's episode is brought to you by Truebill. Truebill is the new app that saves you money by helping you identify and stop paying for the subscriptions you don't want or need. It can even help negotiate better deals than the ones that you want to keep. The Celtics are going to be playing the Spurs on Wednesday night. The Spurs are going to be coming in off a back-to-back. DeJounte Murray has been out in health and safety protocols. He has been in reconditioning. He should be making his debut. The Celtics and Spurs played once before. The Celtics lost to the Spurs, but Spurs have been up and down. They have lost three in a row going into this game. I'm recording it before they play the Toronto Raptors. I'll be talking about that on the Locked On NBA podcast, which I do every Wednesday with Jake Madison. So please check that out. But let's get into the Spurs situation, what we expect from the Spurs game, and this crossover with Jeff Garcia of Locked On Spurs.
It's been a while, man. We were just talking about it before. The pandemic has like really taken away a lot of our opportunities to kind of be normal and all of that stuff. So how you been, first of all?
You know, I've been all right, man. I'm actually in San Antonio for the first time in 3 years visiting family. You mentioned the pandemic. Yeah, it just wrecked those plans. So, but hey, I go back to NYC in a few days. So back to the grind, back to the usual business that is. Well, New York is not the same anymore. It just is not.
I'm sure
it's lost not. Life. Like the life got zapped out of it.
And yeah.
By the way, I've known you for years.
Yes.
A good chunk of my life. I've never seen you with a white beard before. It's the first time I've ever seen you like this.
I knew you were going to say that because I'd never grown it out like this.
Yeah. I didn't know you had it like that.
Yeah, well, so when I was living in New York with you, I didn't have all of this white. That was that long ago. When I used to grow out, like I used to have a goatee every once in a while.
Yeah.
It was all black. It was my nice natural black Greek hair. And now it's a whole lot more white in there. So
yeah, look at that. Well, there's a reason why I'm wearing a hat right now. I cover it up. So I'm blocking it out and just trying to fight the inevitable that's going to happen. Where
it's coming
white.
It's coming for us all.
No one's coming. No one's coming for the Spurs. A healthy Celtics team. I don't like that.
This is the first thing. Like the Celtics actually are. somewhat healthy here, which has not happened very often this year. It looks like the Celtics are going to get their full starting lineup back for the first time in almost a month.
Yeah.
So, meanwhile, the Spurs have been dealing, you know, you've been missing DeJounte Murray for a while. He might be back for that game.
He's
in reconditioning, so he might be back. Lonnie Walker is out. So you guys have been dealing with some injuries. I know you've lost a few games in a row. Let's start with that. And you're coming in off a back-to-back against Toronto, which we're recording this before that game. So from a Celtics perspective, come on, triple overtime.
That's the last thing this team needs.
So give the Celtics fans a little bit of an update here on what have Spurs been facing? Because I know it's been kind of tough and up and down, but there's been some good and some bad.
I think my first reaction or first thing I got to tell Celtics fans is this. So this is what a rebuild looks like. So this is what it looks like. It's been trying times for the Spurs fan base for a couple of years now. San Antonio really tried to keep the wheels going, you know, with DeMar and LMA and Rudy Gay. It just wasn't working out. And all signs were pointing to they got to hit the reset button. And they're doing it this year for the first time. They're in a youth movement, the youngest team Popovich has ever coached, featuring the youngest player in league history, Josh Primo, 19 years old now. So it is a rebuild. It's just definitely different times in San Antonio. It's not the perennial playoff team anymore. But hey, you know, signs are there that their future could be bright. You know, you mentioned Murray, you know, where did this come from? I don't think I expected this leap from him at all. You know, for him to be playing the way he's playing is ridiculous. Keldon Johnson, one of the biggest knocks on him is that he's just a bull in a china shop. That's all he does. Put his head down and just attack. The last month or so, he's been actually adding a three-point shot to his game, which is almost automatic now, John. So that's something you guys are going to want to keep an eye on.
He's shooting 45% from three.
Yeah, he's automatic now. So that's something your Celtics fans are going to want to be looking out for if he's getting hot and he can present a problem. Now, you look at the Spurs, and they've been playing 500 ball of late. I know their record doesn't show it, but if you go back about 10 game-ish, it's this. This is their pattern. Win one, lose one. Win one, lose one. Win one, lose one. Win one, lose one. Win three in a row, lose three in a row, heading into the game versus Toronto last night. So they've been playing 500 ball, which, you know, I guess is good. You know, I mean, because that's far exceeding what many thought they would be. I thought they'd be the new kings, the new cellar dwellers of the league.
Yeah.
You know, and they're not. So credit to Popovich, you know, he's keeping this team competitive. This is a team you can't count out on, but I will tell you this much, something to keep an eye on. You asked me that earlier, you know, if you're a Celtics fan, is watch that third quarter. Mm-hmm. Just watch that third quarter, because if they're down, even if it's 1 point heading into the final frame, this Spurs team is winless. They cannot rally from a deficit heading into the fourth. It just goes to show their maturity. They're just not there yet. And, you know, the very few veterans that are on this team from, you know, Brent Forbes, I mentioned him because I got a chance to talk to him recently. And I asked him, okay, so what's up with that? You know, what do you think that is? He says this team gets too emotional. And again, a reflection about the team. They're too young. If they're down, it's, oh, we're down. You know, or they're up. Yeah, we're up. We're up, we're up, we're up, we're up. We're going to win. And, oh, we got too ahead of ourselves. So it's just a sign of a very young team. And that's what young players do. They get crazy excited when they're up and they blow leads, or they're down and they feel like, oh, we can't beat this team. But, you know, this is something that, you know, this team needs to work out of. And the only way to work out of that is just experience and getting there. So it is a very promising future in a rebuilding year. The big question, though, is will they make a move to kind of speed that up? And knowing San Antonio, I don't think they will. I think they'll just play it out and work their draft and maybe get something for Thad Young before the trade deadline.
I mean, sure.
I'll take something, you know, picks. You know, but so, it's just, this is what a rebuild looks like. It's like when somebody disappears on Batman on him, he goes, oh, so that's what it feels like. Same thing here. Oh, so this is what a rebuild feels like. That's exactly what it feels like.
the least surprising element of this interview is you taking less than 5 minutes to work in a Batman reference.
Nobody'd be shocked now. Nobody'd be shocked that actually happened.
No. But look, man, the Spurs are still dangerous, especially with Murray. Yeah. Without Murray, you lose to the Pistons. You know, without Murray, you know, you still gave the Grizzlies a run. You still gave the Jazz a run. But with Murray, you know, you're beating the Jazz. You've beaten the Nuggets,
Warriors.
Like, yeah, right. You beat the Warriors. You beat the Celtics. You know, like there's and that obviously I'm not saying that to put that in their class, but like you also we're talking about playing the Celtics, so you have wins against good teams. So again, I think that you're right. I think your point is well taken that young teams do play to the competition a little bit
Yes, they do.
So they get up for you get up for the Lakers because you're playing LeBron and you beat them by 28. You know, you get up for the Clippers, you get up for those big teams, and then you slip against the lesser teams. We'll get back to the conversation with Jeff in just a minute. First, I gotta tell you about Truebill. Whether it's those free trials that you forget about and renew without your consent, or if it's one of those millions of subscription services that you've signed up for and forgotten about, or any other kind of subscription service, Truebill is a new app that helps you identify and stop paying for the subscriptions that you don't want, that you don't need, or that you've forgotten about. Generally, people save over $700 a year with Truebill, and because companies make these subscriptions hard to cancel, Truebill makes it very easy. You link all of your accounts and Truebill will help you cancel them with one tap. They also have the Truebill Concierge, which will help you cancel unwanted subscriptions so you don't have to. They have over 2 million users, and those 2 million users have saved over $100 million. Matthew B said in a matter of seconds, he saved $660 a year for his DirecTV bill, $120 on a SiriusXM bill, $840 on car insurance. So it works. It worked for Matthew. It could work for you. Don't fall for subscription scams. Start canceling today at Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. Go right now. Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA could save you thousands a year at Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. I've been telling you about Crack Sauce. It's C-R-A-I-C, Crack Sauce, a great product from Lowell, Massachusetts. Locally sourced ingredients, local farms, local employees, a Celtic season ticket holder, making the best craft hot sauce on the planet. You might think of hot sauce as peppers and vinegar and blow your mouth off hot. Crack Sauce is different. They use 10 to 20 ingredients in each bottle, focuses on flavor. It's perfect for the home cook and the foodie. They source their own local peppers. They let it ferment, slow cook, and they take pride on making it a very fulfilling, flavorful, artisanal hot sauce experience. This is different than that big bottle of hot that's meant to torture you. It goes from hot to mild. Things like Golden Pumpkin, the 40 Shades, the Mill City Red, the Brian Burroughs Curry. Those four flavors have differing heat levels, but different kinds of flavors. You can tell this isn't just hot. This is an ingredient that makes your food taste better. Go to cracksauce.com, C-R-A-I-C, sauce.com for 10% off. You can either buy one or you can buy all four together as a package. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. LOCKEDON will get you 10% off the best craft hot sauce on the market. Crack Sauce, 10% off with the promo code LOCKEDON. My concern from the Celtics side is DeJounte Murray coming back. We'll talk about the trade stuff. Like DeJounte Murray is having, you know, at 25 years old, he's progressing. Like we always like to say progress isn't necessarily just linear. You don't normally go from good to better to better to better. But DeJounte Murray has done that. He's going, you know, better, better, better. His shooting isn't quite where it used to be. But just about 18 points, just about 9 assists, just about like 8.5 rebounds. I mean, he's doing a bit of everything for you guys. Mm-hmm. So just talk about the DeJounte Murray impact and how you feel about him as being part of your future.
Yeah, Jakob Poeltl spoke with me a couple of days ago, and he was asked that question, you know, how is this team surviving? How is this team dealing with that and having Murray? And he said he is the heart and soul. He is the leader of this team. He's down, you know, that's going to be a problem. So what I've seen out of Murray is just that the game is just gone very slow for him in a good way, where he's able to facilitate with ease. You know, I remember years ago, he would force every single thing whenever he was on the break or just running the offense. Now he's going from better to best when it comes to the shot, whether that's an open shot for him from the mid-range or maybe a clear, a wide open shot for Keldon on the baseline corner three. And that's what I like about him. He's becoming more of a point guard. He still tends to be a little bit more, you know, a scoring kind of point guard first, but he's learning to be much more of a facilitator. And thank goodness they needed that, because DeMar DeRozan, you know, when he was with the Spurs for X amount of years, he was a leading facilitator. That was one thing I was thinking about heading into this season. Like, oh, great. Who's going to be picking up the slack? Well, he's been doing that, and that being DeJounte Murray. Derek White, too, you know, he's been really good at facilitating. But as far as Murray is concerned, you just see him taking that step outside of the X's and O's, you know, the leadership aspect. He's always been wanting that role. Even when DeMar and LMA and even Kawhi was there, he's been saying it since day one that he wants to lead this team. He couldn't, you know, because Kawhi's there. You know, you didn't tell Kawhi, you know, DeMar DeRozan's there. You know, he's going to defer to them. Now it's his time to shine. Now he's taking advantage of it. And you love to see that out of him. Are there areas of his game that still needs to work? Of course, you highlighted a big one, you know, the outside shot. The three shot can fall down a little bit more regularity. But I think that'll come in time. All in all, he's the team's MVP this year. I Popovich has said it. I think everybody agrees. If Murray's not in uniform right now, this team is probably one of the worst teams in the league right now. I mean, they're really bad already, but record-wise, but I think they could be even worse without him. So I like what he's doing, and he's a good little piece to help build around Ish Light. I still think this team is still lacking that go-to guy. You know, who is the go-to guy? Well, for the Spurs this year, it's Murray. Okay, great. It's going to be Keldon tomorrow. Fine. It's probably going to be Devin Vassell tonight versus Boston. Sure. I mean, that's just how it is for San Antonio. It's a leader. It's like go-to guy by committee this year. Little by little, Murray is kind of taking that. He's shown that he's not afraid to take that last second shot, give me the ball mentality. But you know, I don't think that department in his game has gotten there yet. But this is a team that is very promising, John. They just need more seasoning. And I think maybe by the end of this season, we should already know what this team's going to look like future forward looking if they don't blow it up. Because this team is going to have a lot of money to spend in the offseason, a lot of money. So they got a decision to make with Lonnie Walker. You know, he's a restricted free agent. He's playing pretty good this year. Other little free agents here, Brent Forbes, you know, but I think the focus will be on Lonnie this offseason. But it's going to be interesting, John. I just really feel that this Spurs team really needs to consider flipping some of these guys.
Yeah.
To bring in a powerhouse player. Because, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, because the question now is the path forward for the Spurs. And so the Spurs have the 10th best net rating.
Mm-hmm.
In the NBA. So their offensive rating is 110. Their defensive rating is just under 109. They're right in the middle of the pack. But when you look at them, you know, like the Celtics have a 0.9 net rating. So they're better than the Celtics. They're better than Philly. They're better than the Clippers and Denver and the Knicks. And like, I'm just scrolling down all of these teams that are supposed to be like decent teams. Some of these teams are struggling for their own reasons. But my point is, Pop has them. Generally, Pop has their teams overachieving, right? And you're talking about this is a rebuild, but you don't fully rebuild by staying in the middle of the pack. You know, that's not where you want to be drafting. That's not where you want to be. Mm-hmm. Like, and as much as we love, like, I think generally you look at this Spurs roster, and you're like, these are nice players. This is just a bunch of nice players, but you don't win championships with a bunch of nice players. Like, is DeJounte Murray going to be the number one option on a championship team? I mean,
probably not. Yeah.
Probably
on a championship team built with a lot of power players. Probably not.
Probably not. Right. Like you need your top 1-2 and then maybe DeJounte can be a number three.
Right.
Or and who knows? He's only 25. So maybe he raises his game to the level of number two, we'll see. But like the fact that the Spurs aren't quite there yet, like what's available to them? Do the Spurs even take Murray and say, hey, look, he's our best guy. Do we go to a team and say, we'll flip Murray and some other guys for your star player,
right?
And then try to build from there. Like, what's the appetite? First of all, what do you think the appetite is from the Spurs front office? And what's the appetite for Spurs fans who are sitting here like watching this team be kind of okay, but not bad enough that they're talking about the top five pick, but not good enough where, I mean, you might not even make the play-in game.
Yeah, it's a big divide right now with Spurs fans. There's team tank, and then there's team, you know, just push forward and make the best that you can do in the draft, whether you're picking at 10, 11, or 12. So that's where the fan base is. I tend to lean towards get higher up in the draft, get more ping pong balls, increase your odds, because historically, that's the only way San Antonio was built, you know, to their title run. I mean, Manu, well, as far as top picks are concerned, what did they do, John? They got aggressive one year and they said, we're going to move up in the draft. They got some guy named Kawhi Leonard. They tanked light-ish in the 90s and they got themselves a guy named Tim Duncan. They had a horrific year one year and they got David Robinson. They drafted Smart, got the third overall pick, got Sean Elliott. You see where I'm going with this. It'd be different if I said, hey, John, man, I'd love to talk to you about a Locked On Celtics and the Spurs game tonight because Kevin Durant's making his debut as a Spur against Boston. That doesn't happen in San Antonio. James Harden, you know, is out there putting out the list of teams he wants to go to, and the Spurs are one of them. That does not happen in San Antonio. I think they have to either get aggressive, which we've seen before they can do it, or just rack up more ping pongs. Now, to their credit, John, they've done a bang-up job with number 29. Actually, I give you two of them, two 29s. DeJounte Murray and Derek White. So they do okay, you know. But now imagine what they could do with a top five pick, a top 10 pick. You know, I think that's where they need to really start looking as far as they're pushing to a rebuild. I know the Spurs' name's been floated around with Ben Simmons, you know, but I don't see anything happening. I think that's going to be a knockout, drag-out fight between Simmons and Morey and the 76ers. But I really believe that since free agency doesn't work, John, I think they really have to consider just climbing up in the draft. Even if they flip in the draft, say, hey, we got some kid named Trey Jones that's really coming on right now. We got a stash of draft picks because they do have a stash of draft picks from the Chicago deal. Hopefully they get some more with Thad Young. Add them in there. They need to climb up that draft. And this Spurs team is you know, they just need a power player. They need that main guy right now. And the good news is, though, is that there's a new regime as far as a general manager is concerned. It's no longer Pop. It's no longer RC Buford. It's Brian Wright. He's the one who made the selection for Josh Primo. I remember I was at Barclays just like sitting there thinking, what did I just hear? That was a mistake. Adam Silver, you read the wrong card. You know, you know, when you have guys, you know, big name players that are playing very well right now for other teams, but they go with him. So he's showing signs. He's not afraid to make bold moves like that. I hope he's not afraid to make bold moves, come moving up the draft and maybe flipping some of these guys because they're on very good team-friendly deals. They are. I don't know if you've seen that tweet that came out by ProfitX.
No.
DeJounte Murray's real-time value right now is $30 million a year. Nah. He's getting paid a year right now, 18 by San Antonio.
Yep.
So they got a lot of good deals that they can hopefully flip and move, and we'll see what they do.
Be interesting to see. I think Murray could be a part of a package that could go for one of those, that disgruntled star type of pick. Like and the problem is right now, no, there isn't one out there. I mean, unless you're talking about Bradley Beal, where you flip Murray and whatever other stuff and a bunch of picks and everything, and Beal ends up being the guy. But you're right. I think you have to make a trade for that, or you have to say we're just going full on OKC, Houston. You know, here's DeJounte Murray for a bunch of picks. Here's you know, Derek White for whatever you can give us picks wise. Here's, you know, let's get a couple of seconds for Thad Young. Let's, you know, all that stuff. Like that I can see them I can see them going down that road.
Back to wrap up the show with Jeff in just a minute. First, let's talk about Built Bar, which is the best tasting protein bar anywhere. You know, New Year's resolution time. This is a great opportunity to reset, to start eating better, to start living healthier. We all want to do that. Built Bar can actually help with that. Take all the snacks, take them out of your drawers, all the candy bars, all that other stuff. Put Built Bar in their place, because what you're going to get is something that tastes great. It's covered in 100% chocolate. The flavors are amazing, but generally 130 to 170 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, 17 grams of protein or so. That's generally what you're going to get in a Built Bar. So give it a shot. Go to built.com. Check out all of the different flavors. If you've got a nut allergy, no problem. If you're trying out that keto diet, no problem. These work for that. And you get incredible flavors from fruity to minty to chocolatey and peanut butter. Anything that you might be looking for, they have it there. The best part is the promo code LOCKED15 gets you 15% off every single time. So sample one, get a mixed box, try a few, figure out what you like, then go back. Just buy the ones that you want. You don't have to buy a bunch that you don't think you'll like just because you have to use the promo code. LOCKED15 works every single time, and it gets you 15% off at built.com. BetOnline has you covered this holiday season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Football marches through its college bowl season. The playoffs are just about here in the NFL, and BetOnline is your number one spot for all the sports action. Head on over to the website or use your mobile device. Either one works. Get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON. That gets you a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So whatever your favorite sport is or your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of the amazing offers available right now at BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Don't wait to take advantage of all the new amazing offers available. BetOnline, where the game starts. Please gamble responsibly.
Let's wrap this up with this. We're talking on the court now. The Celtics are going to be playing the Spurs on Wednesday night. The Spurs are playing on Tuesday night. We've seen the Spurs beat the Celtics once. What do you think the Spurs need to do to do it again?
I think it doesn't help too that we kind of mentioned it earlier, you know, that your guys are getting healthy, and it looks like it might be a full complement of players for Boston later on tonight out at TD. So I think the Spurs just got to do with what they've been doing. It's just remaining competitive and taking this game to the final frame. Now, if you look at the bulk of their losses, San Antonio either loses from the three-point line, because they're still one of the worst teams when it comes to the three shot, or, and this shocked me, the free throw line. They're one of the worst teams in from the free throw line.
I noticed that everybody's free throw percentage. Like, how is DeJounte Murray shooting below 70%? Right? Same thing with, you know, Kelvin Johnson. Like, there are a lot of like, that's bizarre.
But okay, see how your reaction is right now? That's exactly how the fan base, and even I, you know, with Lockdown Spurs sometimes, I'm like,
it doesn't make sense.
They're like, oh, so who do you think is going to win, you know, Spurs? I'm making it up. Spurs is Memphis. I'll be, I don't know, flip a quarter. There's your answer. That's the Spurs that's gonna win, because they're on their game, they're playing four quarters of ball, and the three shot is falling, we good. You know, or it's, if the three shot's not falling, they're not making throws, they're gonna lose. So but I just think they got to just do what they've been doing this season. The best thing they can do, and they have excelled at, is remaining competitive. This is a team that Boston cannot sleep on. I'm telling you now, don't sleep on them. I think Utah slept on them in that first game where the Spurs shocked them and beat them. I really think Utah lost that game. I don't think the Spurs won that game out in Utah.
Right.
Don't sleep on this Spurs team. They will sneak up on you. Also, keep an eye on for Devin Vassell. Low-key, kind of starting to emerge as maybe better than Murray. I mean, he is playing very well defensively, offensively, reliable three shot, good defense, plays the passing lanes well, good defender. Keep an eye on him. Also, if you want a little intel, Derek White, as much as he's been playing good, you want to sag off him because his three shot is just atrocious. When Russell Westbrook shoots better from three than Derek White, and Derek White is listed as a shooting guard, you know, that's an issue. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Jakob Poeltl is another player to keep an eye on tonight, just playing very well, looking like a top 10 draft pick that he was. You know, I forget that he was a number 10 overall pick in his draft class.
Yeah.
He was
number 10. Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's a good point. I forgot about that too.
Yeah. He's playing just like a top 10 lottery pick right now. And that's what puts me in this kind of weird space with the Spurs. I'm like, on paper, they're good, but it just doesn't translate sometimes on the court. And that's just the maturity young. I think I forget the name of the outlet, so forgive me, but there is a stat out there that says, if you weigh the Spurs NBA experience currently on the roster, I think it comes down to about 3.5 years experience. That's what they measure to. So they don't have a lot of experience. And I think you definitely see that on the court at times. I'm expecting this game to go down the wire. I'm expecting a fourth quarter, unless Jaylen Brown puts on those DeJounte Murray Fiesta color shoes and it's over, you know, dropping 50 points on, how do you do 50 something?
50 on the nose in that overtime. So 47 in regulation, 14 points in the last 4 minutes of the fourth quarter.
And Jason Tatum is slowly becoming a Spurs killer. I honestly believe that. I mean,
Looks
like he gets his definitely. And if he is back tonight, then Spurs got themselves a handful, but it should be a really, really good game. Spurs Celtics.
He is indeed back. So we'll see. DeJounte Murray killed the Celtics the first time around. We'll see what happens there. But one of the favorite things the Celtics do, one of their favorite hobbies, is sleeping on opponents that they feel is lesser than them. That's something the Celtics do. So and in that first game, that's what happened, right? The Celtics were down 30-14 in the first quarter. So they had to come back and try to come back, and they couldn't do it. So
I think I was at that game. I think they did take the lead at one moment in the second half, and then the Spurs just came back and got the W. But
it was a very classic Celtics loss.
Hey, by the way, you know, I mean, you're not kind of out of Ime here. I mean, he probably knows Pop's tricks and trades here.
Oh,
you know,
yeah, so man.
That's, I would not be surprised if Ime Popovich battle be fun.
I have seen like some traces of the Spurs, the hammer screen that they use, like some of the old Spurs plays. I have seen, you know, some traces of that. So yeah, there's definitely some of that. You know, Ime, he plays it so cool. He's like, yeah, just another game, you know, no big deal. And I'm like, is it really though? Is it? I mean, come on. Like,
I heard he pulled a classic Pop moment where he caught a timeout within seconds of the game.
Third quarter. He called a timeout.
That's
sat there right and just there. Hit into the team. I really am waiting for the Popovich bench the guys with, like, you know, halfway through the third quarter. Like, oh, okay. Just
left in a quarter. You're like, what? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Just like, I'm waiting for that. Hopefully the Celtics don't get to that point. Yeah. But I'm waiting for that. Hey, you know what? He hasn't subbed Jason Tatum back in a long time here, and it's halfway through the fourth quarter. And
Pop's on the other sideline like this, like, yeah, that's how you do it. Anyway.
we'll see. It's going to be an interesting game because I think on paper the Celtics are going to be full for the most part. They might be missing one or two guys, but I don't think anybody of significance will have their full starting lineup. Yeah. But the Celtics love to take teams lately, and so
I'm surprised. I mean, that Ime was a player that wanted a killer mentality. You know, I'm a little surprised he even said that you know that they played down to their competition.
Yeah, but you know what? I think there's a lot going on here with the Celtics. I do think that they have. I personally believe that they. Between Kyrie and Tristan Thompson, those two guys came in to Boston and caught these guys at like super young. Like Tatum was a rookie and his first experience is playing with Kyrie. And then later on, Tristan Thompson comes in and they're both basically like, screw the regular season, right? Like, yeah, you got to play the regular season. But I really feel like those two guys planted in these guys' brain, like, don't overextend yourself during the regular season. Right. Don't go too nuts. Like, when you have an opportunity to dial back, dial it back, because the most important thing is being 100% for the playoffs, or as close to 100% as you can for the playoffs, which I do understand. Like, yes, the most important thing is being 100% for the playoffs. However, those guys were trying to get 100% for the playoffs with LeBron James by their side, and the Celtics don't have a LeBron James. No one has a LeBron James except for the Lakers or whoever LeBron James is playing for. Right. I think these guys get the wrong message, and Ime is coming in and being like, no, you have to build the good habits now. Right. And the best way to get that rest and save yourself is to blow teams the hell out in the first three quarters so you can rest in the fourth quarter, not coast through the middle of the game and have to turn it on in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. So I do think that Ime is trying to break a lot of habits, and that one is one of them for sure. Like, that habit needs to be broken. And if it's not, then we're going to have to see some changes around here. But I think that that's something that, to your point, Ime is going to have to like impress upon them that, look, build your habits. The regular season is about building your habits and playing the right way. If you play the right way for 30 minutes and you're up 30, then you can take the fourth quarter off. But if you're up 30 in the first quarter and you're then it's down to 3 in the fourth quarter, then what good have you done? You know, mm-hmm. So we'll see. It's a long process. And I think people wanted it right away. Mm-hmm. But really, it's a long process.
Yeah, it is. And just to go circle back to just how Jekyll and Hyde this Spurs team is heading into tonight's game. And again, disclaimer, again, recorded before the Toronto game. So obviously these numbers could change, but just gives you an idea of how up and down, inconsistent or consistently inconsistent. And you know how it goes. So talked about earlier how the Spurs are one of the worst 3-point shooting teams in the league, right? But yet in the last 6 games straight, they made more 3-pointers than their opponent. But yet they look on a 3-game losing streak. Okay, so why? Well, they've been out-rebounded by their opponents in 3 straight games. So they do something good, make 3-pointers, yay, and then they slack over here. I mean, like that just goes to the point that this is a young team. They can't put together a complete game. You know, they can't just, you know, hey, everything, because we don't have a superstar, as Popovich made very clear on Media Day. I mean, he made it very clear, John. You go back and look at that video. He's like, oh, no, we don't have any stars on this team. No, there's no way.
Yeah.
But he did say this, that he's a head coach, you know, one of the greatest in history, and his proof of the pudding now. He said each game from after media day, day one of regular season till now, they have to play a complete game just to stay competitive.
Yeah.
So that just shows you that he knew that this team had to be together, that chemistry needed to be together. That got ironed out after about month 3 of the season. Okay, now it's just putting the little things together. Okay, you're doing good at street winning, but maintain the boards. Now you got out rebounded. Now look what you're doing. 3-game losing streak. Okay, yeah, you're making threes, but guess what? You have 2 consecutive road losses, and by the way, you have less steals than the other team. So it's just, you know, they got to learn to put together better games first period to fourth, because they don't have a Jason Tatum. They don't have a James Harden. They don't have a Kevin Durant. They don't even have a LaMarcus Aldridge or DeMar DeRozan. So, I mean, this is a team devoid of just an all-star, John. There's not an all-star on this roster. So this is a young team. They're learning, and I give them credit. They are learning. They're doing things right now. Is just, you know, you see them do dumb mistakes. Like sophomore Devin Vassell puts together phenomenal plays, steals the ball, dunks, rebounds, gets the guy hype. All right, game on the line, you know, shot clock winding down, stupid turnover, travel, you know, like, and he's there like, ugh. And he knows it too. And that just kind of derails their momentum. So, you know, Pop can't roll out the ball and say, Timmy, Kawhi, LMA, Tony, Mono, do your thing. He can't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. You're seeing him have to really coach this year, and credit to him. He's letting these kids learn. Like, if Josh Primo's out there and he's getting bullied, okay, you're staying out there for another round, another play. Mm-hmm. Learn, go. Derek White, you did a bonehead play. You forced a pass. You're not getting benched. Keep on.
Yeah.
you know, once in a while, he'll go back to his pop ways, especially on the defensive end. If somebody misses a defensive assignment, he'll call the quick timeout. But for the most part, yeah, you see him really teaching this year, just teaching. And I think he loves that aspect of it now, where now he gets to really hone these guys' skills and not just rely on star talent as he had for the bulk of his career in the NBA.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what the what the coaching matchup is like. It's going to be an interesting game, I think. You know, maybe some revenge on the Celtics' minds. Maybe they'll actually come out and play hard.
Oh, good Lord. Wouldn't be surprised. Would not be surprised with this young team. So right, I'm bracing for a big L. I'm bracing for it. I'm like, as long as they just learn from their mistakes.
For everything Spurs, follow Jeff at Jeff G Spurs Zone. Where else is your stuff? Where are you writing now?
I'm over there at our Tegna affiliate at Ken's 5 San Antonio. So go check it out, kens5.com/Spurs. And of course, subscribe to Locked On Spurs wherever you get your favorite podcast. David Locke has this everywhere. There's no excuse for you to not find Locked On Celtics or Locked On Spurs. If you say iTunes, sure. Stitcher, great. Smart speaker, yeah. Just says to play Locked On Celtics or Locked On Spurs, and it will play. So, yeah, appreciate this, and good luck tonight, John.
All right. Same to you, man. Check out Locked On Spurs.
Always great to talk to Jeff. He's a good dude, friend of mine for a very long time. One of the OGs when it comes to the podcasting, the blogging, and all of that stuff. Now, one of the longest tenured hosts here in the Locked On Network. Check out Locked On Spurs. Make it your second listen every day when you're listening to, after you listen to Locked On Celtics, or you can make your second listen the Locked On NBA podcast, which I host on Wednesdays, Locked On Bets, which will help you win a couple of bucks potentially when you're throwing your money down at Bet Online. Locked On Now, after this slate of games, Locked On Now will have you covered with all of the recaps from either side of the game. Each host gives you a couple of minutes. So Locked On Now is a great podcast to get caught up on the night in the NBA. Check it out. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Thank you for subscribing. If you're not a subscriber, please, 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 I would love for you to sign up and get this podcast daily. It's Monday through Friday. Watch the show on YouTube, dropping these every day on YouTube as well. If you are a subscriber, please share the podcast. Tell your friends, tell everybody they should be listening to and watching the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.